Ekatra Podcast Conversations, for the curious essential knowledge, simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're tackling something that feels incredibly relevant, maybe even a bit overwhelming right now. Extremism.
It really does.
We've been digging into J.M. Berger's really important book, Extremism, Identity, Ideology, and Hostility.
Yeah, and it's timely because, you know, you hear the word extremism thrown around so much, polarization, online arguments, political attacks.
It loses its meaning.
It completely does. It just becomes a label you stick on anyone you disagree with, and that confusion is a real problem.
Right. If we can't even agree on what it is, how can we possibly address it? So our goal today really is to unpack Berger's framework. He gives us a tool, a way to understand extremism that's based on its structure, not its specific flavor.
Exactly. It's ideology neutral. Doesn't matter if it's religious, political, whatever. He's looking at the underlying mechanics. How does this thing actually work as a process?
And we need that clarity, that consistent definition to cut through the noise and the bias.
Absolutely. Otherwise, we're just, you know, chasing shadows. Berger gives us this conceptual tool to see the common engine. You can look at vastly different groups, historically or today, online or off, and see the same patterns at play.
Okay, so let's talk about the guide on this journey. Who is J.M. Berger? Tell us a bit about him.
Well, Berger is a really prominent American researcher. He focuses specifically on extremism and terrorism.
Okay.
He's got serious credentials, fellowships at places like the Brookings Institution, George Washington University's program on extremism. He's not just thinking about the stuff theoretically. He's really analyzed how these groups operate on the ground.
And I remember his earlier work. He co-authored that book, ISIS, mm-hmm. The State of Terror, right? That was huge.
It was. And that kind of deep dive into a specific, very modern, very influential group like ISIS, well, that clearly gave him some powerful insights.
Insights that let him step back and see the bigger picture.
Precisely. What makes his perspective so valuable now is how he connects that to the digital world. He was one of the first people to really systematically study how extremist groups were using social media.
Like Twitter.
Yeah, Twitter or other platforms, not just for like broadcasting propaganda, but for actual recruitment, coordination, building communities online.
So he gets both sides of it. The sort of timeless human psychology, our need for identity, for belonging, and how modern technology, especially the internet, just pours gasoline on that fire.
That's a great way to put it. He bridges that gap. And that synthesis, that understanding, leads us straight to the core idea of his book, Extremism.
Which is?
It's simple but powerful. Stop focusing so much on what extremists believe, the specific ideology. Look at how they believe. Look at the structure.
Okay, the structure. This is where he gives us that definition we were talking about, the one that cuts through the noise.
Yes. And it's concise. Berger defines extremism as the belief that an in-group success or survival can never be separated from the need for hostile action against an out-group.
Okay, let that sink in. In-group success requires hostile action against the out-group. It's stark.
It is. And it's that hostile action part that's crucial. It's not just disagreement. It's not just competition or rivalry.
It's the belief that we can't survive or succeed unless they are dealt with hostily.
Exactly. Think about historical examples he might use, like, say, the Khmer Rouge. Their in-group was the pure rural folk, the out-group. Intellectual city people.
And they weren't just seen as different. They were framed as
an existential threat, a poison that had to be purged for the real nation to survive. That belief justified the horrific violence that followed.
So the specific beliefs change communist agrarianism versus, say, white supremacy or religious fundamentalism.
Right.
But that underlying structure, that formula, our survival demands hostility towards them that stays the same.
That's the universal engine he identifies. The book is basically designed to give you, the reader, the analytical lens to spot that pattern. Once you see an ideology fusing identity with the necessity of hostile action, ding, 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 you've found extremism, according to Berger.
It's like having the operating manual.
Pretty much.
Okay, so we have the structure. How does this engine actually get started? Berger says it begins with something really fundamental. Identity.
Absolutely. It taps right into our basic human wiring, that us versus them instinct.
Which isn't always bad, right? We all belong to groups.
Of course not. Social identity is normal. It gives us purpose, community. But extremism weaponizes it. It takes one specific identity, maybe your nationality, your religion, your race, and elevates it above all others. Makes it supremely important. Berger calls this identity salience.
And what makes someone vulnerable to latching onto an identity so intensely?
Often it's crisis, personal trauma, feeling lost, major social upheaval, economic hardship. Mm. Berger talks about this creating a cognitive opening.
A cognitive opening. Mm. Like your mind is suddenly open to new, maybe drastic answers.
Exactly. When your world feels unstable or your old identity feels meaningless or threatened, you become much more receptive to ideologies that offer simple, strong answers, a powerful sense of belonging, certainty, and importantly, an explanation for your suffering.
And that's where the ideology comes in once that identity hook is set.
Right. The ideology is the narrative. It's the fuel, the roadmap. Berger says it does three crucial jobs.
Okay, what are they?
First, it defines the in-group and the out-group, draws those sharp lines in the sand. This is us, that is them, no overlap.
Second,
it articulates a grievance. It explicitly blames the out-group for the in-group's problems, their suffering, their humiliation. It's their fault.
Okay, defines the groups, assigns blame. And the third job, this sounds like where it gets dangerous.
It is. The third job is to provide the justification for hostile action. It frames that hostility not just as acceptable, but as necessary. Essential for survival, morally right, even.
So it turns basic anger or resentment into a righteous cause.
Precisely. It repackages hatred as virtue, as self-defense, as a necessary step for the group's future.
Okay, so that's the ideology's role. Now, what about the mindset of someone who adopts this? The book stresses it's not like flipping a switch, right?
Yeah.
Radicalization is a process.
Yeah, definitely not an overnight thing. It's usually a mix of factors, maybe trauma, isolation, searching for meaning, finding this group. The resulting mindset, though, often becomes very Manichaean.
Manichaean, like pure good versus pure evil.
Exactly, black and white. Us, the in-group, are fundamentally good, pure, righteous. Them, the out-group, are fundamentally evil, corrupt, dangerous. There's no middle ground, no nuance.
And that simplicity must be appealing when you're feeling overwhelmed or lost.
Hugely appealing. It cuts through complexity. It offers clarity, even if it's a distorted clarity.
But these intense beliefs, they don't just exist in one person's head, right? The group is crucial for locking it in.
Oh, absolutely essential. The group provides social proof. Seeing others you respect believe the same things makes your own beliefs feel stronger, more real.
And they often isolate members, don't they?
That's a key tactic. Deliberately cutting people off from outside influences, old friends, family, mainstream news. You end up in this echo chamber where the extremist narrative is the only reality you hear.
Wow. And that bubble provides community, shared purpose.
A powerful sense of belonging and shared destiny, which also makes leaving incredibly difficult psychologically and socially.
Right. Okay, so we have the identity, the ideology, the mindset, the group dynamics. Eventually, this can lead to action. Berger makes a really important distinction here between extremism and, say, terrorism.
Yes, this is vital. Extremism, the belief system, is the permissive cause of violence like terrorism. It provides the moral framework, the justification, that allows someone to believe that violence is necessary or even good.
So the belief comes first. The violence is a potential outcome.
Correct. Not all extremists become terrorists, but terrorism generally needs an extremist ideology to justify itself. He also talks about stochastic terrorism.
Stochastic meaning like random?
Sort of. It's relevant today with social media and polarized news. It's where inflammatory rhetoric from public figures doesn't directly order violence, but it creates a climate where violence seems like a logical or necessary response. It inspires lone actors.
Without a direct command, but the connection is clear.
Exactly. The rhetoric primes the pump.
Which leads us to the future and responses.
Hmm.
Berger mentions hard responses, like law enforcement, and soft ones, like prevention efforts, community engagement, media literacy. But the biggest factor changing the game.
Technology. The internet. As he puts it, the internet isn't the cause of extremism.
Right. We've had extremism for centuries.
But it's the most powerful accelerant ever invented for it. It spreads ideas faster, connects people globally, bypasses traditional gatekeepers.
And it's led to this kind of fragmented extremism.
Yeah, he calls it salad bar extremism. People can pick and choose bits and pieces from different ideologies online, creating their own custom blend. The flavors change constantly, making it harder to track and counter.
But the underlying structure.
The structure in-group identity fused with hostility towards an out-group that remains the constant. That's the key insight.
Okay, let's try to boil this down. If you were to pull out, say, the top three or four key takeaways from Berger for someone listening, what would they be?
Okay, first, definitely the structural uniformity. realizing that groups as different as, I don't know, the KKK and ISIS might share the same fundamental operating system, that's huge for analysis.
Right, it lets you look past the surface differences.
Okay, what else?
Second, identity is primary. This is crucial. Extremism usually hooks people through their need to belong first. The detailed ideology often comes later, retrofitted to justify the U.S. versus them divide.
So it's less about intellectual conversion, more about finding a tribe.
Often, yes, especially at the beginning. Third, the practical distinction. Extremism is the belief. Terrorism is the tactic. You have to address the underlying belief system, the ecosystem, not just the violent acts that might spring from it.
That has big implications for policy, for prevention.
Absolutely. And fourth, maybe the role of crisis as catalyst. Extremist groups are opportunistic. They thrive when people are vulnerable during times of chaos or rapid change because they offer those simple, strong answers we talked about.
That understanding of vulnerability is key. If we know extremism exploits that need for belonging during crises, maybe the counter is building stronger, more inclusive communities in the first place.
That's certainly a big part of the soft prevention side, yes.
Building resilience.
Berger's phrasing is often really concise and memorable. Are there a couple of key ideas, almost like quotes, that really capture the essence?
Definitely. I mean, the definition itself is powerful. Extremism is the belief that an in-group success or survival is inseparable from hostile action against a specific out-group. That's the bedrock.
And the one about identity.
Yeah. Extremism does not start with ideas. It starts with identity. The ideology is retrofitted to justify the division between us and them. That really flips the script on how we often think about it. It makes you realize arguing facts might not be the most effective approach if the root is identity.
Exactly. And finally, his take on technology. The internet is not the cause of extremism, but it is the most powerful accelerant ever invented for it. Puts technology in its proper context. It's amplifying something old, not creating something entirely new.
Okay, so for you listening, how can you actually use this framework? How does this help navigate the world day to day?
Well, one big application is recognizing rhetoric. You can start listening more critically to political speech, online commentary, even news reports.
How so?
Ask yourself, is this person just advocating for their group's interests? Or are they framing another group as an existential threat? Are they implying or stating that hostile action is necessary for us to survive or succeed? That's the line Berger draws.
Spotting that shift from advocacy to necessary hostility.
Right. It's a structural marker. It also boosts your media literacy. When you understand this framework, you can see how social media algorithms designed for engagement can inadvertently push people towards more extreme, polarized content. Those simple black and white views get more clicks.
The algorithms can create those Manichaean echo chambers you talked about.
They can certainly contribute. Understanding the structure helps you recognize when it's happening, maybe resist that pull toward easy answers and polarization in your own media consumption.
It encourages choosing nuance, even when the simple, angry answer feels tempting.
Exactly, because you understand the dangerous road that kind of thinking can lead down.
So stepping back, what was the biggest thing you took away from digging into Berger's work? What really resonated?
For me, it's the sense of analytical clarity. Realizing extremism isn't just this irrational, chaotic force. It's actually a depressingly predictable human process. It follows patterns rooted in basic psychology, identity, belonging, fear.
Stripping away the specific ideologies lets you see the common engine underneath.
Yeah. It demystifies it in a way, and that makes it feel less overwhelming, maybe more addressable.
And for me, the lasting insight is similar. It's being attuned to the language. The language of in-groups and out-groups, the language that fuses identity with hostility.
Mm-hmm.
Once you recognize that structure, you see it everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that knowledge, that awareness of the structure of extremist thought, regardless of its content, that feels like a really durable tool for navigating, well, the very polarized world we live in. You know what to look for.
Well said.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.